Well, all week I introduced all the pastors, so I guess I'll introduce myself tonight. I'm Pastor Mike here at High Desert Baptist. We're hosting this. So, wanna thank you. Thank you for attending. Thank you, Set Free. Thank you, New Life. Thank you, visitors. You know, those that perhaps you're just checking this out, and I pray that you'll be blessed here tonight. And so on our final night of this, has it been good?
Yeah.
Has it been good?
Yeah.
Amen. God bless. Now I hope and pray the Lord has touched you in some way. And perhaps something was said those last 2 days that touched your heart and make you perhaps motivate you to do something different. And maybe you'll hear something tonight as well. That'll hopefully motivate you to take some action in your life, something, because you know you're not where God wants you to be, right? I mean, you may be further along than you were, but you're not where you're going yet. You know, we're all a work in progress, aren't we? No matter how long you've been on the road, you're a work in progress, and Jesus is busy conforming us to the image of his Son. And I don't know about you, but I'm not there. And well, I do know about you. You're not there either. So, but you know, Wednesday night, Jeff talked about God giving light in the darkness. You know what's interesting? You cannot generate darkness. You can't generate it. Darkness is the absence of light. That's why the Bible says when light comes in the room, the darkness has to flee. And when Jesus comes in your heart, the darkness has to flee. And that's what Jeff was talking about, was that there's a God that can dispel the darkness. No matter how dark, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done, God can make something light out of it. He can bring light to your situation. And then Ron talked, you know, it was like God can give light. And then Ron was like, God is able. And, you know, it was all about his ability. And it was about trusting that God can dispel the darkness, trusting that God is able. And so we've had these two messages about what God can do. And tonight, my question to you is, what are you going to do? Because we can study this word and talk about God, and we know God is, you know, he's all-knowing, he's all-powerful, he's everywhere. We know that. But do you understand the only thing you can really give God? There's only one thing you can give God. You could say, well, I gave money. Well, that was God's money. You know? And you may say, you know, I have ability, but God gave you that ability. You know? Whether it be to sing or to speak or to serve in some capacity, God gave you that. The only thing you can give God is your will. He gave us all free will. We can make decisions. And that's the only thing you can give him, because he does not demand it of you. He says, pick up your cross and follow me, and then he walks off. And you decide, I'm either going to follow Jesus or I'm not. And so the title of this message, and I think it's pretty appropriate considering what I'm looking at here tonight, the title is, Don't Just Sit There. So you'll see where this is going. But I'm in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52, probably a familiar passage. And this is where Jesus goes to Jericho, and he spends some time in Jericho, and he's on his way out, and he's actually on his way to the cross. And as he's leaving, there's a blind man named Bartimaeus, and they have a little conversation. And that's what this passage is about. And it says, they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. And when he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out, Son of David, Jesus, have mercy on me. And many people told him to keep quiet. But he was crying out all the more, Have mercy on me, Son of David. And Jesus stopped and said, Call him. And so they called the blind man and said to him, Have courage, get up, he's calling for you. And he threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Now there's a verse right there. But then Jesus answered him and said, What do you want me to do for you? Rabboni, the blind man told him, I want to see. Go your way, Jesus told him. Your faith has healed you. And immediately he could see and began to follow him on the road. Heavenly Father, Lord God in heaven, I pray that even right now, Lord, you would begin to move on this assembly here today, Lord. Help us to get what you have in this word and apply it to our lives, Lord, that you would be glorified, that your kingdom would expand, that feeling would be impacted by what happens here in this tent tonight, Lord. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. And so, I'm just going to go through this. Seven verses. You know, it's interesting. If you've been here all three nights, what a contrast in styles, right? You got three pastors, all totally different. Praise God for variety, you know? I just love it. You know, I don't know. Maybe someday we'll stretch you guys a little bit. We used to do these in New Mexico, and we would literally start at 7 o'clock and get done about midnight. Now, you can't do that. We did it in the summer, but we had two preachers every night give two full messages, and it was good, man. So I don't know. You be praying about that. This thing may develop, you know. It may just develop. So we'll see. You be praying about that. Look at nobody's clapping. One guy claps. But those were some cool times. And I'll never forget them. But anyway, verse 46. They came to Jericho as he was leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the road. Bartimaeus is sitting. He sat in the same spot day after day, nothing ever changing, just sitting. He's blind, but he's heard of Jesus because Jesus came through. And I'm sure, you know, that he was healing and the city was abuzz. And Jesus is in Jericho. He's doing miracles and the word is getting out. And you know what? There's people that have heard of Jesus, but they're blind to their need of him. They're blind to their need of him. They think they're okay. And you know what? They never move. They just say, I'm good. And you hear all this stuff on TV. Somebody dies. Oh, he's gone to the big football field in the sky. Not if he didn't know Jesus, he doesn't. And you know, people think they're okay. They're blind. They think they're okay, and they're not. And what I want to say to you is, don't let your preconceived ideas about Jesus keep you from seeing your need of him and moving. Because you may have your salvation nailed down, and I hope you do. But there's stuff in your life that you need to move. And you may be just sitting there thinking, it's all right. I'm all right. I got this thing under control. And you know what? Jesus wants you to do something. And Bartimaeus right now, he's just sitting there. And you know what? If nothing changes, tomorrow he's still going to be blind. And he's still going to be in that same place. And nothing much is going to change in his life. Verse 47. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know what? When you cry out for mercy, you have a need. Bartimaeus, he's not only just sitting, he's needy. He has a need that no one else can fulfill. No one else can fulfill it. And so it is with us. We have a need. And our initial need is forgiveness. You know, if you've never gone and asked God to forgive you, if you've never admitted to Him you're a sinner, you got a big problem. You are in need of forgiveness. And only Jesus can fulfill that. Some people won't move because of fear. They're comfortable. They got things wrong in their life, yet they're kind of comfortable in the mess they're in because they're used to it. And they're kind of afraid to step out and do something that's going to change their life. But I'm here to tell you today, don't let fear keep you from calling out to Jesus. Don't let fear do that. You know what fear is? It's false evidence appearing real. Okay? You'll have a little voice in your head saying, oh, you're okay, you know, you don't have to do that. If you do that, all this other stuff's going to happen, blah, 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 you know. And you know what? None of that other stuff happens. Almost everything you're afraid of never happens. Yeah, you know, oh, a meteor's going to... I read about a meteor falling on someone's house. So, hey, I'm not, you know, man, I'm not going to live in a house. I'm going to live in a cave. You realize, you know, you're not... What are the odds, right? I mean, it's just not going to happen. And if it does, you'd be with the Lord anyway. So, you know, I always say that. You can't threaten me with heaven. You know, they say, well, you might die. I'm going to Africa in a month. Oh, you might get sick and die. Yeah, well, you can't threaten me with heaven. Right? So he's needy. He's sitting and he's needy. But you know what? He's persistent. Many people told him to keep quiet. You know what? Pastors everywhere, I'm pretty willing to say this. I could be wrong, but I don't think I am. Pastors everywhere, they'll give an invitation, and there's people that will never move because they're afraid of what someone else might say or what someone else might think or someone's going to see me. And right here, many people told him to keep quiet. Hey, I need Jesus. Shh, don't bother. Don't bother him. Don't bother him. But he's persistent. And it says they told him to keep quiet, but he just cried out all the more. So they're all going, shh, shh, don't bother the master. And he's like, no, I need Jesus. You know, these are the people that will tell you, you're all right, you're a good person, just stay like you are. Because you know what? They're messed up too, you know? And they're staying like they are. Well, they're not getting up there. They're telling you to shut up. That's because, you know, they're not going anywhere either, right? What you need to realize is if you don't do something, you're condemned to just keep repeating. You know, your life's just not going to change. If you stay as you are, you're going to be in big trouble. You know, I'm giving you a bunch of don'ts here. You know, don't let your preconceived ideas keep you from Jesus. Don't let fear keep you from calling out to Jesus. Don't let the pressure from others keep you away from your greatest need, a relationship with Jesus Christ. So he's sitting, he's needy, he's persistent, but you know what? Bartimaeus is called. He's called. Verse 49. Jesus stopped. Isn't that cool? You understand that Jesus is never too busy to stop and deal with you individually. Creator of the universe, billions of people on his plate, right? Yet, he will stop and deal with you. One-on-one. One. You know, he is a huge God. He's a big creator. And he is the God of the universe, but he's also the God of the individual. Yeah. And he will stop and he'll look because you call. Jesus stopped and called him. So they called the blind man and said to him, "Have courage, get up, he's calling for you." He's never too busy to stop and meet with you. Will you get up and respond to his call? That's the question for us. Amen. Will you get up and respond? There's no doubt that he's calling you to do something in your life. Are you going to answer? Don't let anyone or anything keep you from responding to Jesus' call. You know, if you are saved here today, and what I mean by saved is you've accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, you realize you deserve hell and you're getting heaven. Why? Because Jesus died on the cross for your sin. I mean, that's just it. That's it. But that was just the beginning of the relationship. That's not the end. It's not like, "Oh, cool, I got fire insurance, I'm done." No, that's just the beginning. And now he's calling you to get out of your comfort zone. And we don't like to hear that. We don't like change. We like, you know, "Hey, I got this thing figured out. Yeah, I know it could be better, but at least I know what to expect." You know what I've found? A lot of Christians settle for less. Don't settle for less, folks. Don't settle for less. Jesus said he came to give you life and to give it abundantly. Abundant life. And that, you know what that abundant life looks like? It's different for each person because we all are in a different place and God has a different gift for you and he's got a different purpose for you and everybody's unique. And yeah, there's similarities a lot of times, but everybody's unique and he's got that plan. Are you living abundantly? Do you have abundant life? You know, do you have abundant life in your relationships? Do you have abundant life in your service? Do you have abundant life in your worship? Do you have abundant life wherever you go? He wants to give that to us. He's calling us to abundant life. We're so crazy. We're so messed up. We'll settle for so much less than he has. And yet we think we're blessed. And we don't even know what blessing is. Because you know what? Satan's a deceiver. And he will deceive you into thinking you are right where God wants you to be. And what you're doing is settling for far less than what God ever had for you from the beginning. You think about that and you pray about that. You pray and ask God to show you what he wants to do with you. And you watch your life change. You know, I don't even recognize myself anymore. You know, that Bible verse talks about new creation. You know, the old man's, you know, when I look back at my past, that's a different, totally other person. Totally other person. And I look at him and I'm like, "Look like me, but..." Well, I don't even look like him anymore. I'm about 100 pounds heavier than he was. But just more for God to love, you know. But I look at that person and it's like, wow. What has God done? You know, man, and it's him. You know, it wasn't me. What I was then—that was my choices. That's what was the fruit of my choices. But when I started lining up with God's choices, that man—that's a whole different person. And that's what he wants to do in you. And just because you've been saved 30, you might have been saved 30 years, 50 years, he ain't done. He's not done. Don't give up on God. He hasn't given up on you. Don't let anyone or anything keep you from responding to his call. What's he calling you to do? Maybe there's something going on. And I'm not even saying sin. I'm saying maybe he wants to do something with you and you're just kind of resisting, you know? He wants to expand your ministry. He wants you to get involved in something. I don't know. Doesn't necessarily mean stop sinning. I mean, yeah, if you got sin, you need to stop. Yeah, but I'm talking about it doesn't have to be that. Because sometimes we think, well, hey, I don't smoke, I don't chew, I don't go out with the girls that do. I'm good. You know, you're not good. Not unless you're where God wants you to be. You think about that. So he's sitting, he's needy, he's persistent, he's called, and you know what? He leaves it all. He leaves it all. Verse 50 says, he threw off his coat, jumped up, and came to Jesus. Hallelujah. Now you need to understand, that's probably the only thing he owned. The coat or the cloak is probably the most valuable thing he owned. It probably kept him warm when it was cold, kept him dry when it rained. He probably sat on it, you know, when he was trying to eat. He probably used it as a pillow when he tried to sleep. Probably he was begging for money. He probably used it to hold his money. You know, I mean, who knows what all he used it for? I've been to Peru 5 times and they got these cloths. And they use these cloths for everything. Everything. Starts raining, because we'd be there in the rainy season. These guys would pull this cloth out, and boom, they'd hold it over their head, and they'd just truck along, man. You know, other times, you know, we'd stop for lunch. They'd pull that thing out, set it on a rock, sit there on a rock, eat lunch. You know, I've seen them, you know, if a woman had a baby, she'd lay that thing out, put the baby in it, and they had some kind of crazy way they could put that thing on and tie it right here. And the baby would not fall. You know, it stayed there, you know? I'd look at that, I'd watch them walk, and I'm like, how does that kid not fall out of there? That was probably the most important thing he had. Do you understand there is nothing that this world has to offer that is worth more than a relationship with a living God? That, you know, what is it you're hanging on to that's keeping you from the relationship God wants you to have? What is it you're holding on to? What we leave behind. He threw off his cloak. He came, you know, he left it behind. What we leave behind is actually very little compared to what we receive when we answer Jesus' call. Listen, don't let the status quo keep you from answering Jesus' call. Don't settle for less, folks. Jesus got, you know, abundant life is exactly that, abundant. Don't settle for less. You're not called to less. You are a child of the King. You go to a country where they have kings. The child of the King lives pretty good. You know, the whole country, you know, they're probably starving, but the King and his family live good. And you're a child of the King. And you should have abundant life. That doesn't necessarily mean you're wealthy. That's not the definition. It's about God working in you in a mighty way. That's abundant life, folks. It's just being in the will of God and letting Him just do some things you never thought that you would ever do. And you're not doing it in your power. You're doing it with His power running through you. He left it all. Called, he leaves it all. Verse 51, he tells Jesus his need. I find this very interesting. Now, here's a blind guy. He's obviously blind. He's sitting on the side of the road. He's begging for money, you know, and he's probably sitting there like this, you know. And then when he was calling out to Jesus, he's probably going, Jesus, Son of David, you know, Son of David, Jesus. And he's, you know, Jesus had to know he was blind. Well, plus he's God. He knew he was blind anyway. I mean, but even I could have probably figured out he was blind, okay? But it's interesting because Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, me and my just humanness, I'd be like, duh. You know? Isn't it obvious? Like, I need to see. So why did Jesus ask? Absolutely. When you come to Jesus, you must tell Him your need. If you need salvation, tell Him you're a sinner and you need forgiveness. What, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Right? You do that. You ask. Because you know what? If you don't ask, you have not because you ask not, right? Even though He knows you have a need. How many of you are parents and you know your child wants something? You know exactly what they want, but you make them ask you, don't you? You make them ask you. If you need healing, you need to tell them you're sick. Bartimaeus said, hey, I want to see. Because if you don't ask, folks, nothing will change. Why do you think we're supposed to pray? I mean, well, doesn't God already know all your needs? Doesn't He already know what you're going to pray? So why bother? Right? Well, it must do something, right? I mean, it must activate something. Just like any father, a good father, you want your children to come to you with their needs. And Jesus wants you to come to Him with your needs. Yeah, He knows them, but you know, part of relationship is you share. You share your needs. If you don't ask, nothing's going to change, folks. If you don't ask, don't let fear or stubbornness keep you from telling Jesus your need. You know, sometimes we're just stubborn. We're just like, hey, God knows what I need. I mean, you know, if He felt like fixing it, He could. Well, yeah, He could. Yeah, He could. But it is incumbent upon you to ask. I think it was Spurgeon or one of those great guys from the past that said, God does nothing except in response to someone's prayer. That's probably a poor paraphrase, but that's the gist of it. And I find that to be true. Tell Him your needs. You know He knows, but tell Him your needs anyway. Lastly, verse 52. Bartimaeus, he's sitting, he's needy, he's persistent, he's called, he's leaving it all, he's telling Jesus his needs, and now Bartimaeus follows Jesus. He follows Jesus. He says, I want to see. And Jesus says, go your way, your faith has healed you. And immediately he could see and began to follow Him on the road. And you know what? He must have followed Him all the way into Jerusalem and he probably watched Him die on the cross. You think about that. I mean, here's a guy, he hasn't seen, I guess for his whole life, we really don't know, but it seems, at least by the tenor of the scripture. And the first thing he sees is probably Jesus. That'd be cool. Amen. Wouldn't it? That'd be cool. Yeah. But then he follows Him and then he sees Him crucified.
Wow.
But he knew the truth, man. He knew this was God. Why? Man, he could see. Because of his faith, Jesus opened his eyes and he was healed. And Jesus says, go your way. That's very interesting. Go your way. You see, there it is, our free will. Immediately, you see, when you meet Jesus, it's going to change you, number one. But number two, you are immediately faced with a decision. And you're either going to go your way or you're going to go his way. And you know, I've met people and they've come to me for counseling and I'll talk to them and I'm telling them stuff out of the Bible and they're like, you know, no, that won't work. No, that won't work. And I go, well, have you been doing this? No. And I say, well, how's it been going for you? If it's so great, why are you here? Your way's not working. That's why you're here. And I know this, you know, when I counsel people, you know, like it's like marriages and stuff, they'll say, you know, how many marriages have you saved? None. They're, huh? And I'm like, well, ask me how many I've lost. How many? None. Because I'm just going to give you Bible. And if you do what the Bible says, God will heal your message, your marriage. And if you don't do what the Bible says, you're going to lose your marriage. I've got nothing to do with it. He says, go your way. It was what I talked about at the very beginning. The only thing you can give God is your will. You get to pick. You can go your way or you can go his way. That's it. That's all there is, folks. You know, people talk about these gray areas. There's no gray area here. You're either going your way or you're going his way. It's all there is. It's all there is. Bartimaeus followed Jesus with his eyes open. Know what you're getting into, folks. Being a Christian's not easy. I've had people say, oh, you're just relying on this thing. I go, oh, yeah, you think it's easy? Yeah, I kind of do. Well, take your Bible to work. And just carry it around all day at work. And you tell me, well, I can't do that. I go, what do you mean? I thought you said it's easy being a Christian. What do you mean you can't do that? I did it. And people that didn't ever set foot in a church, they knew that was a Bible. You know? I mean, it didn't have any writing on the outside, nothing. It was just a book, you know? Is that a Bible? No. And I'm like, yeah, you got a problem with that? This is funny. They know. You know, they just know. You know? Bible's powerful, folks. It doesn't even have to be open and it's impacting people, you know? But you follow Jesus with your eyes open, you know, because it's a road. You know, and the way to hell is wide and it's easy to get there. But the way to heaven is narrow. In fact, there's only one way. And there's people out there that they say, oh, you know, everybody can get to heaven their own. Yeah, okay. Uh-huh. You're going to believe that. That's the church of easy believism. Okay? That's what that is. Hey, it just fits. You know, I'm running around looking for a church that just kind of tells me the things I want to hear. That's the church of easy believism. I want to go to a church that speaks the truth. Because it's only the truth that sets you free. It's only the truth that's going to change your life. It's only the truth that's going to impact the family and the friends that are around you is the truth. It's the only thing. Do you know what stops us? Because this guy, He didn't care what anybody thought. He didn't care anything. He knew he needed Jesus, and he did it, and he followed him. But you know what? Don't let your pride keep you from following Jesus. You know, why does God hate pride? You know, it started with Satan. You know, the Bible tells us it rose up in Satan at some point. It was Lucifer. It rose up, and God hates pride because, you know what? It's our pride that keeps us defeated. Pride's kind of a funny thing because I think if you come to the place where you realize you don't have pride, you now have pride again. It's kind of like I'm proud of my humility. I think I'm the most humble person there is. Don't you think I'm humble? What? You think someone else is more humble than me? God hates pride because pride is what keeps us from Him. Because pride is saying, I know my, okay, God, I know I'm supposed to do this, but you ever been there? And I know you probably have. You're like, God, you want me to forgive that person? Do you know what they did? I can't let them off the hook. That's your pride. Do you know what they did? Let me remind you, God. You know, like he needs to be reminded, right? I love what Billy Sunday said. He said, did it ever occur to you that nothing ever occurs to God? You think about that. Because things occur to us. Oh, that never occurred to me. God never has one of those moments. You know? Don't let your pride keep you from following Jesus, because that's what it is. You're going to hear truth, but then you're, well, what will so-and-so think? And sometimes it's like someone close to you. What will my wife think? What will my husband think? What will my children think? What will my mom and dad think? What will my friends think? Listen, if you don't accept Christ as your Savior, you're going to go to hell, and none of those people, you're not going to care what they think. Bible says today is the day of salvation. You know, Jesus never again came to Jericho. Bartimaeus didn't know it, but that was his last chance. And there could be people in this room, it could be your last chance. Could be your last chance. Because you don't know. You know, the Bible tells us our life's a vapor. It just appears for a little while and vanishes away. And you may think you got years ahead. And like Jesus talked about the rich man, the guy that said, hey, I'm wealthy, I got all this stuff, I'm going to tear down my barns and build bigger barns. And Jesus said, you fool, your soul is going to be required of you this very day. And then what good is all that stuff going to do you? Because we do not know if we have another breath. By the grace of God, we probably do, but we don't know. There is not a person here that is guaranteed another chance to make a decision. Don't just sit there. If God has pricked your spirit, today is the day to move. Today is the day to move. So you guys come up. We're going to have an invitation. I don't know. What has God pricked you with in the last 30 minutes or so? What is he brought to your mind that needs to change? What has he brought to your mind that maybe it doesn't even need to be a change per se, but you just need to start doing something different? And you need to not care what other people think when you do something different. Maybe he's just telling you that. I don't know what it is. He does. But you need to ask him. Say, God, what do you want me to do? You know what's funny? A lot of people say, oh, you know, God never answers prayer. Well, maybe you need to ask the right prayer. You know, maybe you need to ask him, what do you want me to do, Lord? And I'll bet you he answers that one. What do I need to change? What do I need to give up? What do I need to add to my life? Where do you want me to go, Lord? I want to follow you. Show me. He will answer those kinds of prayers, folks. Those kinds of prayers get answered. Our problem is we answer things kind of with a motive. I mean, we ask him things with a motive. You know, oh, Lord, what do you want me to do? But then we're thinking, this is the only thing I'm willing to do. And if you don't bring it my way, I'm not going to do it. And then we'll turn around and say, yeah, he never answers my prayer. Get your pride out of the way. Get your fear out of the way. And start trusting the one that can make it happen in your life. But it's his way, not yours. You got to make a choice. You got to decide. Am I going to follow Jesus? Or am I just going to follow my own wisdom? Advice to you is to don't just sit there. Follow Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I pray that your word has pierced hearts tonight. I pray, Lord, that you are working in your children here tonight. And Lord God, I pray if there's anyone in this room, I pray, Lord, that does not know you as Savior, that maybe they've been deceived and maybe tonight you have given them light that they know that they need you, Lord. I pray they would not let their fear or let their pride get in the way, that they would come forward and accept you, Lord. Accept the free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. And for the rest of us, Lord, I pray that if God has pricked our heart, that if God has shown us something that he wants to do in our life and we've been holding back, Lord, I pray we would just let it all go. Just get up. And follow you. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
This is the air I breathe. This is the air I breathe. Your holy
believe the Holy Spirit showed up tonight, don't you? Amen. God is so good. God is so good. Are you going to do that song? Okay. Hey, I'm going to pray. Kind of like what we've been doing every night. I'm going to pray to close the meeting. But they're going to do two more songs afterwards. But y'all do what y'all got to do. You know what I mean? And I grew up in Florida, and that's y'all's the only thing I got from there, you know. I don't have an accent. I just have y'all. You know, y'all. But, let's pray and thank God for what he has done. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for these 3 days. Lord, I thank you for what you've done each and every night, working in your people's lives. Lord God, I pray that decisions were made, Lord, and I pray that we would follow through with the decisions we've made to follow you in whatever way that was, whatever way that is, whatever it is you have for us. Lord God, I do pray, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as Savior, if there's a doubt in their mind, Lord, I pray they would seek me out, seek Brother Ron out, seek somebody out, Lord. I pray you'd move on them, that they not let another day go. And for those that we just made a decision, Lord, I pray that you give us peace to make that decision and trust you with our very lives. And Father, we will praise you for what you are doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.